listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Hey, 850-437-1620 is the number to text or call. We'd love to hear from you, hear your lovely voices. Going to have some rain off and on throughout today. We need it. And what better way to start out this rainy day than with Mike Wiggins here on the Garden Line. Mike, you ready for some rain?
Oh, we need it so bad. I mean, we really are in a drought. Yesterday, I had about a minute and a half shower in my house. That was it. That was all there was.
That's a tease.
I hope so. I hope there's more coming because we really do need this time of year, especially. Now, along with this rain comes the cold again. Here we go. I was just looking at our monitor over here, and I guess somebody's calling for very low 30s on Saturday.
It's Atmore and Bay Minette.
Yeah, things like that.
But sorry for them.
Well, and you know, you never know. You get those, this time of year, you get those big cold fronts coming through, low pressure down in the Gulf. And, you know, in past years, sometimes we've had a little snow out of that type of storm. But I'm not calling for that, but I know we're calling for some cold weather. So everybody, obviously, pay attention. I have kind of, as I travel during the day, I'm seeing some of the big box stores. I have never seen so much spring color flowers and vegetables in my life.
There's a lot
here at the first week in March. It's just a little early, and I always wonder, what do they do with all that stuff? If we're going down to 30 degrees, or if we do, I'm not saying we're going to, but if we got that low, what in the world would they do with all of that? Because that would do in a lot of stuff. It really would.
I don't know if they have like a massive blanket that they put out. I don't think that.
It's got to be.
That's where my brain goes.
The world's biggest blanket.
The world's biggest blanket.
You're absolutely right. Anyway, okay, I'll tell you what, let's do. Really, before we get to our Texas, I do want to mention one thing. The Spring Festival of Flowers out at the Milton campus of Pensacola State. This is an annual event, and it is so cool. Just vendor after vendor after vendor with spring plants, all type of environmental booths, that type of thing. And it really is cool. That's going to be April 1st, Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 4, Sunday, 9 to 4. You need to go. You need to go. And we'll be talking about this more. And maybe somebody who is involved in this might want to give us a call and kind of give us an update about who all is going to be there so you can go and participate. And a lot of this stuff will be for sale. So it'll be fun. Probably a lot of native stuff, I would imagine. But in any event, it's called the Spring Festival of Flowers. It's at the University of Florida, IFAS, and Pensacola State College, Milton campus. We all know where that is. So in any event, keep that one in mind. That's some.
Do you know if flowers will be for sale? Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. I think they'll sell them. Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's a great place to hold off and get some good florals for your garden.
That's about the right time, too.
Front porches,
April 1st versus
after
March 1st.
This 40-degree weather that's coming our way. Sorry, Paul.
That's why I'll tell you one thing. I'll take 40 all day. Just keep me out of that low 30s. But yeah. I haven't planted anything yet that would be damaged. I'm holding off, and just I'm going to wait. Because we always have that cold snap before Easter, and so be ready for that.
No, I honestly, I think laziness came in my favor this past week. Sorry, I think that laziness did come into my favor when I was looking outside. Like, you know, I kind of want to do a little gardening, add some color. No, I don't really want to do it. I want to go back and sit down and soak in the sun because it was such a perfect weekend.
It was perfect. I went to the beach.
You did?
Sure.
Oh, we went to Sunbelt.
And
it was awesome.
I'll tell you, with no rain, I know this isn't really garden line material here, but with no rain, the water was crystal clear. You just don't see it that clear that much. Just beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful sunshine, mid-70s. It was wonderful.
Yeah, we want more of that, okay?
We'll have it.
Let's have the rain.
Let's get through all of this little storm here, and we'll have some more of it. But we might also have some more cold weather as we approach mid to late March. But for now, let's get through this, and welcome the rain. That's a good way to look at it if you're going to be positive.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, 850-437-1620. Mike Wiggins is here for the Garden Line to answer all your gardening, lawn care, watering, shrubs, pruning, myrtles, murder, all those questions. 850-437-1620 here at News Radio 92.3. What do you have for us?
Well, just a couple of things. One, it was a very interesting article by Larry Williams, who is a extension agent over in Okaloosa County. And he's having a seminar, an online seminar, but he also printed out here, or put it on the internet, if you will, the four common mistakes that we take, that we make, insofar as our lawns are concerned. And I read it, and he's absolutely right. And a lot of it is kind of a no-brainer, especially for the listeners of the Garden Line who know a lot of this stuff. But I thought it was interesting to hit it real quick here. The first step is to know the type of grass you're managing. And I do think we need to, here on the Garden Line today, or maybe a show in the near future, kind of go through the options we have insofar as lawns are concerned in Pensacola, because you've got to know the type of grass you have, because if you're going to manage it, there are different ways to address it. Everything from lawn pests to mowing heights to herbicide selection, irrigation, all limestone, all of those things. Each grass is a little bit different. And so we may want to talk about that, but the point is, number one, you've got to know exactly what kind of grass you've got. And this is another one, too, that I do think is important, and maybe a lot of us don't pay as much attention to this as we could. Most homeowners do not know the size of their own lawn. Now, that sounds kind of crazy because, I mean, we all know, you know, there's our front yard, but do we know the square footage of our front yard and our backyard and our side yard? Because so many of the things that we put on our lawn to help it are geared towards the square footage. For example, a bag of fertilizer, 1608, what we talk about all the time on the Garden Line, covers about 5,000 square feet. A lot of your herbicides are geared towards just 1,000 square feet. So you kind of need to know how many thousand square feet your lawn has got. That way, whenever you put your fertilizer, your herbicides, all that stuff on there, you'll get them right. Because we always say, Jenna, that is when you're putting those chemicals on your lawn, it's not like playing poker. You know, it's not double up to catch up. It's not going to work. You double up on a lot of that stuff, and you're going to have some grave, grave damage. His number three was, many home lawns are irrigated incorrectly. And in Pensacola, that's kind of tough, especially this time of year, to know exactly what to do when we have a dry spell like we've had, and now we're going to have all of this rain. You kind of have to play it by ear. We've always said that on the Garden Line. But if you can do the math, you need to water about a half to three quarters of an inch on an as-needed basis. Now, what's an as-needed basis? This drought, after this drought, I sure turn mine on, my sprinkler system, no question about it. But, of course, some of the signs, if you are walking across your lawn and it kind of leaves footprints, or the grass just kind of goes down a little bit because of your footsteps, that means it needs water. If the blades of grass kind of start folding up, that means it needs water. And a lot of that is summertime stuff. But if you're going to do a half to a quarter inch of water on an as-needed basis, you need to know what a half to a quarter inch is. And so you may want to put a can or something out there and measure all of that. The fourth one that he comes out with, and this is one we preach this sermon all the time on the Garden Line, is many homeowners mow their lawns too low. That is the kiss of death for a lot. That's kind of an extreme comment, but it's not the kiss.
You just went dark.
The kiss of death.
The kiss of death. Mike, wow.
Let me put it this way. It's not good for your lawn.
Okay.
Let's change that.
That's the nice way, I guess.
That's a nice way. And Larry, in his defense, he didn't say kiss of death. That was me. I'm sorry. Anyway, what happens, it makes your lawn thin. It gives the weeds move in. The fungus moves in. So those are the four things that a homeowner needs to know about their lawn. Now, there's a lot more, but I thought it was very interesting that he would point out those kind of obvious points insofar as taking care of your lawn.
Excellent. Excellent points right there. Excellent tips. We also have our friend Lisa, who is texting in some tips, too, when it comes to the flower festival. I'm going to give those when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. If you have a question, text it on in or call this morning. We'd love to hear from you. 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing.
Gene Kelly, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully we are singing in the rain throughout today. We need that rain. It looks like it is going to be spotty showers throughout the day, or so we are told, and we trust them. And
kinda,
we need it.
Kinda. Exactly.
He said kinda. 850-437-1620. Just a moment ago when we opened up the garden line, and again, texting those questions, April 1st through the 3rd, we have the Spring Festival of Flowers happening at PSC in Milton,
it's
right?
April 1st through 3rd, right?
Yeah. Well, so I love when y'all give tips. You can text them in, please. We appreciate them. So our friend Lisa in Milton, she said she loves the PSC plant sale. She and her sister go, and she said, do not forget to bring a wagon to carry your plants. Excellent tip.
Good tip. Absolutely.
Yeah. And if she said, is it coleus?
Coleus.
Coleus?
Yes.
If you like those, that's a great place to get them. Different styles and colors. I'm Googling it.
And while we're on coleus, because we'll periodically hit a lot of these summer flowers, coleus have been last year, I thought, just as pretty as they've ever been in Pensacola.
I have those, yes.
Well, keep in mind now, there are two types. There's the shade coleus, which love the shade, and then there's the sun coleus, which I love. I love the garnet and gold sun coleus, which, of course, are my Florida State Seminole colors, so I have got to have at least one of those in my yard. But they are just so gorgeous. They last all summer long, and the sun coleus will take the sun and just have those vibrant colors. So Lisa's absolutely right. I bet you can find all different varieties of coleus at the plant sale, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I forgot that. I'm sorry. I don't always remember the names of the plants I buy. I'm just like, oh, I like this. And then I bring it home and
I
name
it. Buy what you like. Plant what you like. That's
yeah.
Right.
I forget which one. I think that one we named Pinky because it has the spots of pink.
Wait a minute. You name your coleus? Is that
Yeah, we
plants?
Name all of the plants.
You name your plants.
Yeah, and it usually has to do with like where we bought it. So if I go on a road trip, I will buy a plant. So I bought a succulent in Nashville. And so that succulent's name is Nash. And we say, hey, Nash, you need some water. Okay, yeah. So everybody's going to think I am a lunatic here.
Oh, no.
I believe when you talk to things in a positive way, yeah. It's good for growth. And so I believe that's with people, plants, pets, you know?
I learn something every time I do this
positive
show.
Positive talk.
Absolutely. I tell you something else that's positive. Our buddy Catherine gave us a little care package, and
yes,
we cannot
you finally got
thank
it. I'm
her
so glad.
Enough. And she has some events here. Unfortunately, some have passed, but the edible plant sale at the Escambia County Extension, March 19th. I don't know the times. You could call the Extension Service up off Stefani Road and ask them the times. The edible plant sale, because it's time to start thinking about our edible plants, everything from tomato plants to blueberries to fruit trees, just all types of things that we can grow, that we can eat, food on the table. So edible plant sale, March 19th, Escambia County Extension Service. Call them up there and get the details, no doubt about it.
Edible plants as in food. Okay, so those of you better get it together this morning here on the garden.
I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know.
Oh, my goodness. It's 922-850-437-1620. If you have a question this morning, hey, you can still do some planning on a rainy day. Maybe dream a little dream of what you want your spring garden to look like, getting ready for the warmer weather. It's going to creep up here slowly. We'll deal with the lower temps and then start to rise over the next few weeks, pretty much. But we get that, what do you call it? You told me it's like the Easter chill. What is the Easter?
It's just a cold snap before Easter. It just happens. Maybe it's just me, but it just seems to happen maybe a week or so before Easter. Not necessarily a freeze. No. But it'll, you know, we'll be in the, like we've been lately, in the 70s. Maybe we'll touch some 80s, and then it'll pop down into the low 50s or 40s, and it'll feel cold.
Yeah.
That's before Easter.
And it usually feels like on Easter morning for sunrise service or, you know, your early morning egg hunt with the kids and grandkids, it's a little chilly. You end up needing a jacket. Hey, also wanted to let you know it looks like Escambia County Plant Sale March 19th is happening. Let me go back. 9 a.m. to noon.
Good.
So thank you, Catherine, for verifying
that. Thanks, Catherine. And thanks for everything you sent us. It's great. Got some great magazines. Can't wait to look at them. Really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
And
thank you.
Did you notice, Jenna, did you notice also that in Catherine's care package was a moon pie?
I withheld until you saw it first.
Are we going to divide it in half? You take half, I take half.
Is this going to be like the wishbone?
Kind of. Yeah, exactly.
We'll do a little wishbone breaking on the moon pie.
Why?
Hey, it's always moon pie season. Hey, if you do have a question, 850-437-1620, you can text it in or call. We are about to take a quick break. And this question, it comes from our friend Jan. They've got a small area in the front community gate. The ground, she says, is horrible. But what are some good annuals to plant for all season color? It's full sun. So she said approximately 10 by 5 is the size. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jan, we will answer that question for you here on the Garden Line. Have any more questions? 850-437-1620.
I got me 10 fine toes to wiggle in the sand. Lots of idle fingers snap to my command. A lovely pair of heels that kick to beat the band. Contemplating nature can be fascinating. Add to these a nose that I can thumb and a mouth by gum. Have I to tell the whole darn
928 here. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your question. Our friend Jan was wondering what to plant. Full sun. She's got about a 10 by 5 area, and it's at the front community gate. So you really want it to pop, Mike.
Absolutely. Well, a couple things we've got to do here. One is irrigation. Just if you don't have irrigation in a community garden like that, it's relatively hopeless. Whatever you put there is just going to burn up. Mm-hmm. And so you've really got to have some type of sprinkler system. And you may just be able to run a hose from a neighbor and periodically water it when it needs it. But you got to have water. Also, in an area like that, if it's hard packed, you need to prepare the soil. Remember, we say a lot of times, if you're sodding a lawn or if you're planting a flower bed or a vegetable garden, preparation sometimes takes more time than the actual planting. So what you want to do is get you some Canadian sphagnum peat moss, a good tiller or a teenager with a strong back and a shovel, and work in.
Put them to work.
Spring
break.
Exactly. They'll be available. And they may not want to do it, but they'll be available. But get in there and turn that peat moss into the sand. That's probably just what it is. It's just hard-packed sand, to the tune of about at least 6 inches or so. I would throw a touch of lime in there. Not critical, but it's not bad. I wouldn't put any fertilizer in there at this stage. I would just put the peat moss to kind of loosen up that soil and give it some organic qualities. And then you've got to decide what you want to plant. I have found in a situation like that, your best color is going to be some perennials, but some annuals, that if you can plant them, let's say, April 1st, and they last you all the way into the fall, then you've got some really pretty plantings. And I've got a few suggestions. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about them.
Okay, I love it. So stay tuned for that, Jan. Thank you for that question. Text in more questions, 850-437-1620. Mark, what do we have coming up in the news? We are rocking our way through the Garden Line this Tuesday morning. More rain on the way. Mike is here, though, to answer your questions, whether it has to do with watering, water, lawns, more water, hopefully. Hopefully all the things, and hopefully sunshine on its way as well. 850-437-1620. We're here for you. I want to get back to Jan's question, though.
It was a great question. She's going to plant in a community entrance, I assume, probably by a sign that identifies the subdivision. And we've talked about preparation with some peat moss and arranging for water. Now, what do you plant? Well, I, during the break, I sat here and just made a few notes, mental notes, really, about some plants that might do well in that type of environment. And quite honestly, you could almost say that's kind of a harsh environment. Pure sun all the time. And so what's hardy? My number one was some vinca, periwinkle, which is a great full sun plant. It really does well. It's little white blossoms with a little red dot in the middle of them. And so if you're going to buy periwinkle, vinca, same thing, that's a great choice for some color. Now, it's going to last you probably all the way into the fall if you plant it in the spring. But it's an annual, so the cold weather, if we have any, is going to get it. Here's another one that's interesting. Dusty Miller. I've seen it used in that type of planting. It doesn't have a bloom. It's just a kind of a gray, dusty leaf. But it really adds contrast to a lot of the other color plants that you have. Another one that is just a no-brainer is a marigold. Marigolds do great, especially the dwarf marigolds. Yellow dwarf marigolds, my favorite. They would really, really do well in that type of environment. Now, here's one that I've used in that same type of environment, and that's lantana. Lantana, of course, is a perennial, which means it'll come back year after year. It'll die back in a cold winter. But last year, I planted some dwarf yellow lantana, and I've got to tell you, they were gorgeous all summer long, all fall long. I finally... They kind of, you know, with the cold weather, kind of died back, and so I dug them up. I'm going to plant them anew. Even though they're perennials, I'm going to go ahead and plant new ones in the spring because last year they were just terrific. Here's another interesting one that doesn't have a bloom, and that's a flax lily. So many of our landscapers, and I'm sure Paul with Blue Sky would agree, a lot of people are using this flax lily because it's a variegated leaf versus a green leaf. And that variegation, once again, a little bit like the Dusty Miller, gives you a contrast to your blooming plants. It's a great one. Here's another one that'll take the full sun. Portulaca. Another name for that is moss rose. Little bitty, low-growing plants, multicolor, and they really are cool. One other thing that a lot of people plant in a, I'm going to call that almost a commercial environment, is your ornamental grasses. Plant your muley grass. Beautiful foliage all summer. And in the fall, it's got those just gorgeous purple plumes, if you will. And it's just, that's a great plant. Muley grass. That's the one you want to ask for. Here's another one here. The last one I'm going to mention. It's not used very much. I just like it. It's a copper plant. Once again, no bloom to speak of, but it has beautiful copper-looking, copper-colored leaves, which would put up with that harsh sun that Jan's talking about. So, Jan, there must be hundreds more suggestions we could make, but those are just a few that come to my mind sitting here that I think you might enjoy.
But really make sure the irrigation system is,
gotta be.
Is set
you
got to
have
point.
It. Oh, you got to have it.
Run
it's
a
like,
hose.
Yeah, and nowadays, with you know the way climate has been, when we do have a lot of dry periods sometime in the summer, you really, I don't care if you're putting down sod or your own vegetable garden, you've got to have a way to get water to it. There's really no plant, in my opinion, that's going to do well with no irrigation. So that goes back to our initial thing that we do when we are going to landscape the front of your house or a small area in the backyard or whatever, and that's to plan. You've got a plan. You need to draw out the plants you're going to use that matches the environment in which these plants are going to grow, and be sure you've got the water. Critical.
Be sure You've got that water there. Jan was also asking that coleus, is that a good one too?
That would be good.
We were mentioning.
Yeah, we could keep going. Absolutely. The sun coleus. Be sure you get the sun coleus, no doubt about
sun
it.
Sun coleus.
Yeah, and you know what else I've seen used is some of the sun impatiens. Keep in mind, over the decades, we've planted impatiens in the shade. Well, of course, in the last decade, we've had these sun impatiens. Some people call them New Guinea impatiens, I assume because they originate in New Guinea, I don't know. But they are full sun. But I also have found, this sounds like a broken record, that particular plant would do great in the sun, give you beautiful color, but it's sort of a signal plant insofar as probably one of the first ones to show that it's dry. So you've got to be sure that you're watering enough to keep it looking healthy.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that. And thank you for that question,
Jan. Great question, Jan. Thank you.
Yes, text in more, 850-437-1620. It's the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your gardening questions. I'll help. I love Googling. hey, here's a question for you, Mike. When is the right time to use Image Atrazine Spray?
Very, very good question. Matter of fact, I'm so glad to ask the question because I wanted to interrupt you a minute ago and say there's one thing we got to do is to go ahead and use the atrazine right now. Use it right now. We're here 1st of March. I would have rather used it in the mid-February time frame, but this is fine. Good time to use the atrazine. Be careful with atrazine now. It's only for lawns. Don't get it around your plants. It's so funny. I've had people over the years bring me a leaf off fig trees. This is a real off the subject, kind of an aside. And it just gives it the fig leaf off the fig tree had this mottled look, really unhealthy. And I would say, have you ever used weed and feed fertilizer with atrazine? Yes, you must have gotten it underneath the fig tree. It will affect plants. You do not want to get atrazine anywhere but the lawn. But now's the time to do it. And keep in mind, on these pre-emergents, it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of rain afterwards. Now, on the Image, which is another great product, good for nutgrass, it's good for dollarweed, you're going to use that later on. We're going to use that probably into April. But you don't want to water after that. You can water after the pre-emergence, but at Image being a post-emergence, you don't want to water for about 24 hours after that.
Okay, very good. Excellent advice right there. 850-437-1620.
Just one more thought.
Tell me.
One more thought. On the atrazine, you'll go to your big box stores and you'll see a bunch of atrazine, and of course that's the active ingredient in so many of the weed and feed fertilizers. But what have we told people over the last month or so about weed and feed fertilizers?
I think it's the tagline is don't do it.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Exactly.
Is
just
that like dare to keep people off of weed and feed?
That's exactly right. No, it's just not good, because the simple answer as to why is that the fertilizer in the weed and feed is much too strong to put on our lawns yet. We want to hold off on fertilizing our lawn. Now, the atrazine that we just got the text about, you can buy that in a liquid spray, and you can go ahead and spray it. That's the way to apply that.
Excellent. 850-437-1620, 944. We're about to take a quick break. Oh, hey, little shout out to Catherine. Man, what? She picked her last Meyer's lemon.
Oh,
and wait till I post that. It is, that's a big one right there, I will tell you. And it's it seems like I'm seeing a lot of the citrus falling now.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems pretty normal. So I'm excited. I like my neighbors who bring them all to me and just leave them on my front door. That's my favorite.
You've got some great neighbors.
Oh, you know what? Just be friends with everybody and then you'll get oranges and lemons. 850-437-1620. Text in those questions. We will get to them when we come back. Mike Wiggins is here. You're listening to The Garden Line.
Thank you.
this morning here on the Garden Line. I feel like
we should get the whole name, Jenna.
We should be Booker T and the MGs. I feel like we should be like walking down the street with like our garden shovels. That's like, we're coming to get you. We're coming to get the fire ants. That's what we were talking about.
There you go.
Hey, 850-437-1620. You're listening to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. Okay, here's one. This is one for you. Might get a little spicy. Planting dogwoods and Japanese magnolias, both beautiful favorites, right?
Right.
So, what should our listener use for the soil to amend the soil with? Sandy clay soil, to be exact.
Well, I have to tell you, this is my answer to this kind of goes against what the state says. The state has said over the years that you should just plant the trees in the soil that's there. Do not amend the soil with anything. I have found over the years when I do that, that I just have what I think, from my observation, better luck just putting a little bit of organic material. Now, they've got some clay in their soil. They may be okay without the peat moss, but keep in mind, peat moss will also add a little and put in the sandy soil to add some organic material. But if you have clay, it'll loosen up that clay also. So I like to put a little bit of Canadian sphagnum peat moss in the hole. However, you don't have to, because the state folks will say it's not necessary. I have found it many times to be beneficial. It's not a matter of life and death on the plant, on the tree, but I just think you get quicker growth simply because it adds organic material and holds some moisture, especially in our sandy soil. No doubt about it. I wish we had the texture on the phone to find out what kind of dogwood they're planting.
Keep in mind, though,
the white dogwoods are the best. It's called Cornus Florida. They're the best ones to plant. Pink dogwoods, don't even try it. They don't do well here. But plant that dogwood as kind of an understory tree. That's the best place under the higher trees. It'll do better there.
Oh, they're so pretty.
They are pretty. And they have gone through some tough years. They got fungus. We used to get a lot of them out of Tennessee. I think we talked about that one time. And they just kind of put a quarantine on them out of Tennessee because of disease problems. But my observation is over the past couple of years, they've kind of made a comeback. And are looking good. So I wish our texture well planting those trees. I am two good choices.
Yeah, keep us posted as well with that. We love pictures. You can text in pictures this morning, 850-437-1620. I wanted to ask you, do you feel like, you know, we talk about all these like laws being signed into legislation and bills being passed and things and changes. Wouldn't it be nice to see changes in education where horticulture was added in and gardening was happening in our schools and kids got their hands dirty and planted flowers and learned? You know, you see some, like I remember my kids planting like a seed and growing a little sunflower in their classroom window. It'd be cool to see more of that.
Oh,
like,
I totally agree. I think it was O.J. Sims.
Yeah.
Elementary. Mm-hmm. Back in my political days, I visited the school and they had a beautiful garden, vegetable garden, if you will, out in the back. And a lot of schools have done that. One of your problems with doing that at a school is at summer break, you have to take the summer off. And as you know, in the summer is when it needs almost constant maintenance.
Yep, that's true.
But you can plant some things in the spring and teach these children about where food comes from. I think it's a great idea, Jenna. I really do.
I would love it. That was just a little 2-cent extra for everybody this
morning. And while we're talking, just not talking politics, but I noticed that the city of Pensacola has hired an arborist, a well-trained professional arborist, to help with selection of trees, care of trees, working with the tree ordinance and all of that. That is a real positive step. You need that. And so I'm glad we've got somebody like that on staff. And maybe one of these days we could talk to him here on the Garden Line and kind of get to know this gentleman and on what his plans are.
Yes, I'm sure we can, you know, twist some arms and Yeah, pull some strings. We'll get them over here. I would love that. We have an arborist in our family. And,
oh, do you really?
Yeah. And it's very fascinating because I'm like, this one's tall. This one's short. That has flowers. This one's dead. So that's pretty much how my...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the arborist was short and this one's tall. Oh, no, you're talking about the... Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, that too, right? 850-437-1620. My son Cole is part of the West Florida High Argus Science program. This is his third year in it. Very cool. They have a wonderful greenhouse and even have an annual plant sale. He is going to major in horticulture and botany. Sarah, that is so cool.
That is so cool. Good for him.
I'm pretty sure I've been there.
What school is that,
Jenna? West Florida High.
Oh, well, good for them. They have a greenhouse too, so that...
Yeah, because I did a walkthrough, but, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes days blend into my brain.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure, and I was just fascinated. Like, we should have more of this. And they had a beautiful garden, and then they had an edible garden. It was absolutely amazing. And congratulations to your son. I love that.
There's so many directions you could go with that type of major in the field of horticulture.
It doesn't hurt for maybe encouraging young people to minor in those things.
Absolutely.
Study those things.
Absolutely.
Go to these plant sales and festivals so they can learn more too about, you know, cultivating their own garden and pretty much their own farm in their backyard.
There you go.
Hey,
well,
we're going to take a quick break here, Mike. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. Want to squeeze in a last minute question? 850-437-1620. Here you're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Very cool. University of Florida has a horticulture program at the PSC Milton campus. So, Bachelor's of Science. I love that. Thank you for texting that tip in as well.
I will tell you right now, they have got some professors out there, some experts that are world class. They really know their business. So, thanks for that information. That's great.
Thank you so much. All right, we are going to wrap things up this morning on the Garden Line with a lightning round.
A lightning round. Here are the things you got to do right now. Soil test. If you haven't done a soil test, you might want to go ahead and do it. If you have St. Augustine grass and you don't want to mess with a soil test and hadn't put limestone out in a couple of years, I would do that. Of course, be sure you don't do it the same day you do your fertilizer. Sharpen the blade on that lawnmower. That is so important. It'll keep some of the fungus away. If you haven't put up your Martin house, you better hurry. Time to get your Martin house up. The scouts supposedly come in February. Maybe they're a little late. Let's hope. But anyway, time to put up the Martin house. If you're going to plant some trees, now is the time to do it. They're going to be coming out of dormancy. And, of course, the best time to plant a lot of your shade trees is when they are dormant. And maybe finally, remember, I really like there's a company in South Florida called Caladiums Florida. If you want to plant some caladium bulbs, go on that website, Caladium Florida. You'll see some of the most gorgeous caladiums and elephant ears. That's all they sell. It's caladium and elephant ears. And you can order them and they'll send them. They have great customer service. They always tell me, he said, Mike, when do you want these? And if you don't really know, we'll send them when the planting time is right for your area. I said, sounds good to me. And they always do.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's a great lightning round. You did it. Record time, Mike.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Hey, we will catch you next week at 9 a.m. here
on
the Garden Line.
Thank Carol, Catherine, for her goodie bag. It was just great. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Catherine. And stay tuned. Bob Bergie is joining us up next with Winning with Main State Financial.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.